The economy has been high in the headlines, but less so has been news about the youngest workers. Last year, the U.S. government found child labor violations involving more than 3,800 minors, one quarter involving hazardous working conditions. Both figures are up from the previous fiscal year. At the same time, a handful of states say they think there's too much regulation of child labor. Allie Rogan has more.
So far this year, Iowa and Arkansas have passed laws to loosen child labor restrictions, and four other Midwestern states are advancing bills through their legislatures. Last year, New Jersey and New Hampshire signed bills to lower age restrictions around child workers. Iowa's law is the most expansive. It would allow some minors to work in jobs that were previously prohibited to them, like those involving demolition and power-driven machines. The other bills largely focus on removing requirements for work permits and increasing the number of hours children can work. To discuss the state of child labor laws, I'm joined by Catherine Waltz, director of the Center for the Human Rights of Children at Loyola University Chicago, and Dan Bowling, a distinguished fellow at Duke University School of Law. Thank you both so much for joining me. Catherine, I want to start with you. Why is it that these laws seem to be all making their way through state legislatures at the same time?
Thank you for having me. I find this very interesting in light of the fact that there is also a parallel increase in child labor violations under the Department of Labor. So I think this is certainly a coordinated effort by industry and by Republicans to try to weaken federal labor laws, particularly as it affects children. There is a gap in labor, and people are looking for more people to hire. And unfortunately, children are being thrown under the bus.
And Catherine, sticking with you, a lot of the most egregious child labor violations that we've seen, as you mentioned, which have been increasing over the past 2 years, they would not really be impacted by these laws. So where then do you see the through line between the efforts by lawmakers and companies to loosen these restrictions and the child labor, the increase in child labor violations that we've seen? What's the connection there?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I wouldn't agree with the characterization that these laws wouldn't affect like the health of children. Our child labor laws exist very intentionally and have been developed over decades, even over 100 years, with the knowledge that children's brains and bodies are different. Children are not adults in miniature. So recognizing that they are more vulnerable to toxins in the environment, to cleaning supplies, to longer work hours, to less sleep, this affects their brains and bodies. This also affects their ability to engage successfully in school and in education.
And Dan, there are federal laws on the books. The Child Labor Provisions of the Fair Labor Standards Act sets maximum hours for 14 and 15-year-olds. And, right. and in fact, some of these laws that have either passed or are being considered would run afoul of those federal regulations. So what do you expect to happen there? Are we going to see challenges to these state laws?
Right. For example, 2 days ago, a federal court threw out a law application of one of the new state laws under what we call the preemption doctrine, meaning federal law. States can restrict child labor lawfully. It cannot expand child labor lawfully. I agree with my colleague, Catherine, on many points. I disagree that there's some sort of consortium of big business. Most of the violations I've been looking at when studying for this were from what I'll call rogue actors or franchisees. I was, as you may know, a chief HR officer for Coca-Cola Enterprises worldwide, and we had some rogue actors. It might send a signal to these rogue actors that it's okay to do this till you get caught, because the fines are fairly minimal. So that's one. I don't think the laws will stand to the extent they loosened. Like the one law, I think in Wisconsin, allows 14-year-olds to serve alcohol. And it's hard to imagine a 14-year-old serving cocktail waitress in some honky-tonk in Wisconsin. So these won't stand, right. But the signals they may send are are bad ones.
Catherine, if I can ask you quickly to respond to Dan's point about these being rogue actors as opposed to orchestrated larger attempts. Would you like to weigh in on that?
Sure. I think with any violations of any laws, you have both like rogue independent actors, and then there are also larger systemic issues. And I think with many of the recent child labor violations, these are violations that are happening across several states by large corporations. I'm not saying youth and particularly adolescents shouldn't work. These are jobs, though, where they're expanding hours of work, hours outside of school that impact children's ability to sleep, ability to rest. They're low-wage jobs, right? These are not high-skilled jobs. And they're also affecting and impacting children's access to school.
Catherine, Dan brought up another point that I'd like you to weigh in on as well, which is about enforcement, that some lawmakers who have pursued these bills say that the existing Department of Labor regulations are simply not really being enforced.
One of the reasons that the Department of Labor Wage and Hour Division isn't pursuing these cases is because it is one of the least funded governmental agencies. It doesn't have the capacity to pursue these cases in the way that it should. And so that is also, you know, a statement to look where our values are. And just because they're not investigating these cases or bringing them to the table doesn't mean that the act itself, these child labor violations, isn't wrong. And isn't a crime, and a law isn't being broken.
And Dan, there are efforts to revise the federal regulations on the books. There's a bill from Congressman Dusty Johnson of South Dakota, which would expand working hours for children year-round. What's going to be the interplay then between efforts on the federal level to change Department of Labor regulations and what we're seeing on the state level?
Well, I think the chances of that getting anywhere or about the chances of me being appointed to the Supreme Court tomorrow. So I'm not overly concerned about that. But finally, again, the Department of Labor, the fact they are finding more violations, meaning they're doing their job.
Catherine Waltz and Dan Bowling, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Allie.